All right, last week we started a new series that we have entitled Out to Invite, because we've been given a mission. And last week, my brother Dali launched this series where we're just talking about we've been given a great mission. And the mission is that because Jesus Christ has all the authority on earth, but also in heaven, therefore we can go. We can go and do. And that big mission is what should be driving us. Now, all of us, when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to telling other people about Jesus, we find ourselves in any of these three spaces. Space number one is you can find yourself in a space of avoidance, where you don't want to share the gospel and you avoid to share the gospel. And that could be because of so many reasons. One reason could be because you're afraid, you are fearful. You don't know if people will actually receive your message, or maybe you're afraid you're going to lose this relationship you have with this person. It might ruin. If I bring Jesus, this is going to ruin my relationship. So you are actually afraid to share the word, to share the gospel with those people that you have in your life. Sometimes you can avoid because you feel inadequate. You feel like, you know what, I don't have enough information. I don't have enough education. I've not really learned enough about God, about Jesus. I haven't really learned my Bible well. So I don't know what I can even say. You know, so you feel a bit inadequate that you don't know. You're not the pastor, or you're not that church leader, or you haven't been to Bible school. So you just feel a bit inadequate. Sometimes you can avoid, maybe because you just feel like, you know what, I don't really think the way we share the gospel should be the way we share it. I just feel like there is the methods that we use, probably you don't agree with those methods. So sometimes you just feel like, you know what, I'm just going to leave it there. So you can find yourself in a space of avoidance for whatever reason you have. The second place you can find yourself is a place of drivenness. Now, being driven is actually good, but it can be bad if what you're being driven by is pride, for instance. We can find ourselves being driven by pride when we go and reach out and tell other people about the good news of Jesus, because we feel like, you know what, it depends on me. I'm the one that saves people. And then you find yourself, when you offer the gospel, when you give someone else the word and they don't receive it, and you feel rejected, then you feel like you have failed. Ever been in that space where you have called, you know, you have preached and called someone else to come to Jesus and they say, no, thank you. And you feel rejected. So you feel like you have failed. And whenever you share the gospel and you take it personally to the point that you feel like you are a failure, you have to know that you are being driven by pride. Pride was taking charge because you're thinking you are the one that can change lives. You are the one that can change hearts. But you cannot. It's Jesus who does the changing. Another part of drivenness is that we can feel like, we can be guilt tripping people. Or maybe we are sharing the gospel out of guilt. You know, if I don't share, they will rot in hell and all of these things. And therefore, you're carrying this guilt and you're going out with that guilt to share the gospel. And the problem when you find yourself in that state, you're going to be guilt-tripping people as well when you go out. So you're using a tactic, you're using manipulation to get people to hear the good news, to get people to follow Jesus or to say yes to Jesus. And that's not a good place for you to be at. But another space that's actually good for you to be at is the space of calling. When you see yourself that I've been called by my master. I've been called by my savior to share the good news. And therefore, your motivation for going out is not that people deserve to hear the gospel. Your motivation is that Jesus deserves to be heard. Jesus deserves to be heard, and therefore you will go and share the gospel. For what Christ has done, for who he is, for how beautiful he is, he deserves to be heard. Jesus deserves to be heard. And therefore you will go and share the gospel. And that place is a beautiful place to be at. Because even when your message is actually in a way rejected, you're not going to say, I've been rejected. No, you won't say. You're going to feel sad because you're like, you know, I wish this person listened. I wish this person had said yes to Jesus. However, you will be like, you know what? God will do his own way. God does work. I've planted a seed, and let's just see what Jesus will do. So today I want us to look into this concept of inviting, of inviting. And we're going to be doing this for the next 4 weeks, having learned the mission that we have. Now, how do we go out and reach out to people? And what attitude do we carry as we are reaching out to other people? And today we are in John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. If you can, in this room, would you please stand as we read the word of God together? John 1, 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." God, we are so thankful for you remain glorious, exalted, powerful, beautiful, and amazing. We are so thankful, God, for your goodness. And as we dive in into this passage, I ask for your spirit to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat. Have you ever been in a situation where everybody else is being invited to something but you? Like, you know, people are going. Maybe it could be to a party or a wedding or whatever it is. And everybody else around you is being invited, but you feel left out. Yeah, like you have not been invited to this thing. I don't know if you have ever been in that space, but it's not a good place to be at. And some of you can relate. Maybe it's at your workplace. You know, everybody else, a lot of people seem to be going to these trainings in the office, to these conferences. You know, they're traveling, they're doing all of these things, but it does not happen to you. And you're like, you know what, maybe I do even a better job than them, but somehow I feel left out. And maybe some of you, it's in your school, and you know, people are being sent out to represent their school in different things, and you're like, you know, I can also do that, but somehow you're not being picked to represent, and you feel left out. And some of you can feel left out maybe in your family, or maybe you can feel left out in this church even. So all of us know how it feels like to be left out. All of us know how it feels like when you're not invited into something. Because invitations are so, so important for us. And even if they invite you to something that you know you're not going to go, but it feels good to be invited, doesn't it? It feels good. It feels good to be invited. Because in that moment, you feel seen, you feel valued, which is a need all of us have, to be seen and to feel like we are valued. Just by a show of hands, how many of you in here heard about Flood Church from someone else? The first time you heard about a Flood Church was from someone else. How many of you? That's a lot of people. All right. Now, how many of you came to Flood Church because someone else invited you? Someone else said, "Hey, go and check it out." How many of you did come to Flood Church because someone else invited you? That's actually really, really good. Because a year ago, that's what we found out. About 70% of our people here come because someone else invited them. And that's an exciting statistic, actually. And it's really, really important for a church to be in that space because invitations are important. And if you were to really think about it, your very, very existence started with an invitation because, more likely, your dad asked your mom out and they got married because your mom said yes to the invitation and boom, here you are. Praise God for invitations, right? Come on. Yeah, invitations are important like that, that even our very existence depend on it. Now in the passage we have read, we see Jesus Christ is inviting a person by the name of Philip. He says to him, "Follow me," and Philip follows Jesus. And after that, we see Philip now having followed Jesus, having encountered Jesus, having had an experience with Jesus, goes out and he invites another person, and this person's name is Nathanael. So he says, Nathanael, hey, we have met the Messiah, the one that the scriptures have been talking about. We met him. I want to invite you to come and meet him and experience him. And he comes from Nazareth. And Nathanael is like, really? Nazareth? Come on, dude. Can nothing good come from that place? And Philip does not actually argue with Nathanael. He just says, hey, come and see. Come and see. And I'm hoping that today we can begin to get on this attitude, to wear this attitude of come and see, where we go to people and say, come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and encounter Jesus. I've had an experience with Jesus myself, and he's beautiful, he's amazing, he's good. And I want to invite you, come and see. Oh, but I have doubts, I have questions. No worry, I may not even be able to answer your questions. Probably I won't. I don't have the answers, but come and see. And what you're doing is you are inviting people to come or to go on a journey with God, inviting people to go on a journey of God. Now, there were things that Philip had to believe about Jesus that were going to happen when Nathanael goes and encounters Jesus. There's stuff that he had to believe. And I want us to look into this passage and see that when we're inviting people to go on a journey with God, to go towards God, that we must believe these things. Number one, when you're inviting others on a journey with God, believe that God has already seen them. Believe that God has already seen them. Verse 48 says this, how do you know me? So this is after Jesus says to Nathanael, here comes a true Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And then he says, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. You've got to believe that before you go, God has already gone before you. Before you say come, God has already seen that person. Before Philip went to share whatever he shared with Nathanael, before he did everything, Jesus says, I saw you. So that means you must believe that God has been working before you even got there. When you're inviting somebody to God, when you invited somebody to Jesus, believe that God has already been working. Jesus has already been doing work in that person's life. And because he already has been doing that, then you can have the confidence to say to the person, come and see. Come and see. Because he has already done it. He has already seen that person in whatever state they're in, whether they're sitting, they're standing, they're running, they're afraid, they're anxious, they're disappointed. Jesus has already seen them. He has already seen them. So therefore, if he has, if they say, okay, I'm going to go, it means that's God's work. He has already been working. He has already been working. And that is a good attitude to have when you believe that Jesus Christ has already seen them, because that begins to remove the weight off of your shoulders. That actually does not depend on me to change hearts. Does not depend on me to change lives. It is God who has already been working in them. We must move away from seeing people as projects to be conquered, but we must begin to see them through the eyes of love, that Christ loves them, and that's why he's been working. Before you repented, before you said, I'm sorry, God, he already loved you, Ephesians chapter 2. So believe that God has already seen them. Number two, when you're inviting someone on a journey with God, believe that Jesus will be attractive to them. Believe that Jesus will be attractive to them. Verse 49 says this, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Nathanael confesses Jesus as, first of all, Rabbi, Lord, but also King. He confesses him. And at that moment, you have to know that there is something else about Jesus that appeals to Nathanael, that gets him attracted to Jesus Christ. So when you're inviting somebody else to say, come and see, you are inviting them to Jesus and believe that there's something else about Jesus that will attract them to him. You're not inviting people so that they're attracted to our church or to the people in the church. Have you ever been in that place when you're praying, you know, like, God, please let the worship be awesome today because I brought a friend. Please, God. Let the preacher say only good things today, God. Let him not mess up. Have you ever done that? You're like being anxious on behalf of your friend. But you know what? We are not actually inviting people to be attracted to the people. No, we're inviting them to be attracted to Jesus. Whenever you come to Jesus, there is something about Jesus that will get you attracted to him. And that's our stories. Some of us got attracted to Jesus because Jesus is kind. Because of his kindness. Some of us got attracted to Jesus because of his forgiveness. Some of us got attracted to Jesus because of his patience with us. Some of us got attracted to Jesus because of his love for us. Some of us was maybe because of his words, maybe because of his grace. But when you invite people to Jesus, know that there's something else about Jesus that will get them attracted to him. So therefore, don't worry. Don't worry like, oh, let me explain myself to this person so that they get my experience and then they understand how amazing this Jesus is. No, get the people to Jesus and Jesus will do the rest. There's a part of Christ that will attract them to him. Number three, when you're inviting people to come on a journey with God, believe that Jesus will welcome them. Believe that Jesus will welcome them. Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. Now you have to know that if Jesus Christ saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, it also means that he heard what Nathanael said when he was sitting under that fig tree, when he was talking to Philip. You better believe that Jesus Christ heard that conversation. But it's very surprising to me that when Jesus Christ meets Nathanael, Jesus never ever brings up that conversation. He never did. He never did. Because it's an embarrassing conversation that he had. Because he doubted, right? Nathanael doubted. Really? Can anything good come from that place? He doubted. And probably he's already sitting in that space like, because he's now confessing him as Lord and Master. He's sitting in that place. Like, can I believe I doubted this man? This man is real. This man is true. But Christ never brings up that conversation because that could have brought shame and condemnation. And you've got to believe that when people come into the presence of God, they will feel welcomed. For there is no condemnation for those that are sitting in the presence of Jesus. No condemnation. So he never condemns him. He never says, ooh, remember? Remember what you were doing? Remember what you were saying? No. You're welcome in my presence. Because with Jesus, you are welcome. With Jesus, you are accepted. With Jesus, you are loved. Welcome. You are here. Welcome. So you've got to believe that. That they will not be ashamed because Jesus Christ will not shame them. But believe that he will welcome them. And sometimes we can be taking the gospel out by bringing shame on people because we want to shame them into repentance. But Jesus Christ does not do that. He loves people into repentance. He does not condemn them into repentance. He loves them into repentance. As someone else said, that sometimes us Christians, we are more known for what we are against than for what we are for. And we've got to say, we've got to know that Jesus Christ is for showing mercy. Jesus Christ is for showing grace. Jesus Christ is for showing love. Jesus Christ is for embracing people. He is for rescuing lives. He's for those things. So can we also be for those things? Amen. Number four, when you're inviting people on a journey with God, believe that Jesus will celebrate them. Believe that Jesus will celebrate them. Verse 47 says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, if you are Philip, you have invited your friend to come to Jesus. You know, you're expecting probably Jesus Christ is going to rebuke that person. He's going to tell them like, hey, you are a sinner. You need this. Look at how, you know, messed up you are. No, but he doesn't do that. He celebrates them. He says, look at this man. This man is full of integrity. This man is honest. What? But that's how God is. God celebrates people. And we have to be doing the same. If every single one of us can be observing people around us to see that when people make even a single step towards Jesus, we should celebrate that. Because people are either on a journey towards God or away from Him. And when people take a step towards God, we need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that. Oh, I prayed for 1 minute this week. Let's celebrate that. They're going towards God. Oh, I read one scripture this week. Let's celebrate that. They're going towards God. Oh, I left that destructive behavior behind. Let's celebrate that. They're going towards God. We got to celebrate people. We got to celebrate each other more. Because God does. He celebrates us. He celebrates everybody that comes to Him. Number five, when you're inviting people to Jesus, be ready to walk with them. Be ready to walk with them. Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. He never says, go and see. He says, come and see. What that means is that I will walk with you to Jesus. I'll go on a journey with you. I will stand with you. We're going to be in this together. Come and see is an attitude that we carry where we say, I'll be present with you. Even in your doubts, Nathanael, I'll be present with you. Even in your questions, Nathanael, I'll be present with you. Even in your worries, I'll be present with you. Come and see. We're going to move in this together. And when we decide, all of us, that we are going to walk with the Nathanaels in our lives, we're beginning to believe that the mission we carry is greater than the methods, you know, we carry that mission with. And sometimes we can exert the methods rather than exhorting the mission, where we say, no, if you're going to go to Jesus, you need to pray this prayer first. Right? That's a method. You need to raise your hands first. No, that's a method. You need to dress up and look better. No, that's a method. We are more committed to the mission, which is transformation that Christ brings. So I'll walk with you, even though you're not looking like one. You're not looking according to my standards. I'll walk with you. Even though you don't have the right answers like the ones I have, I'll walk with you. Even though you have doubts, I will walk with you. Because I'm so committed to the mission that God has given me. So let's be willing to walk with people. And if we carry that attitude, we're going to see Jesus doing amazing stuff with people. One of our values here is weak people growing together for transformation. Because we believe that we can walk with people here. And that means you're going to find a lot of imperfect people here, including your pastor. A lot of imperfect people here. Because all of us are on a journey towards Jesus. All of us are on a journey towards God. And are we willing to walk together, to sit together, to be present with each other, where we can say, come and see. Come and see. If Jesus welcomes people, let us welcome others. If Jesus celebrates people, let us celebrate others. If Jesus sees people as people, not as projects, let us see people as people. Because Jesus deserves to be heard. Therefore, we can say to others, come and see. So I don't know what this looks like for you, but the Nathanaels are actually everywhere. You have a Nathanael. Nathanael's in your workplace, in your school, in your homes, in your family, the people you buy potatoes from or tomatoes from. We have endless opportunities every single day. But are we willing? Are we willing to be excited for what God has done for us? And we can say, guess what? Come and see. Come and see. For some of you, it may look like someone else coming with a problem and that they're going through. And you can say, you know what? I don't have the answer that you're looking for. But would you like to come and see whom I've encountered? Would you like to come and see? For some of us, it's actually inviting someone else to come maybe in our home to show hospitality. For some of us, is to invite somebody else to something that we are both interested, that you're both interested in, because maybe you might strike up a conversation that could end up with a come and see type of conversation. So I don't know what that looks like, but I hope you would be willing to say, God, would you please open up my eyes to see the Nathaniels in my life and help me that I would say, come and see, because you have encountered this living God. So please go and say, come and see. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are lovely. Jesus, you are amazing. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a community to always remember the mission that we have, to always consider the mission that we have, that doesn't matter where we are at, but we are for God. And that God calls us wherever we are at. And whenever an opportunity arises, God, I pray that we'll be more than willing to say, come and see. Because it's not really us that changes hearts or changes lives. It is God who changes hearts and who changes lives. So we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.